My Life in Christ is starting from page 72, part the book 2. Those who attend the divine service of Orthodox Church and study the science of divine service must bear in mind that the service here on earth is a preparation for all rejoicing service to God in heaven, and that in serving God with the body, it is still more necessary to serve God with the soul and with a pure heart, that in hearing the divine service, they must learn to serve God as those saints served him, whose lives and works of faith, hope, and love we hear of during the divine service, that God should be above all served by deed and truth, and not only by words and the tongue. We are all called to serve God by our very being. We are given an upright statue in order that we may continually look upon God, thank and glorify him. Our understanding, heart, will, and all feelings are given to us for the same purpose. Lord, grant that I may ever pour forth my supplication to thee for the whole world and for the fulfillment of the request of the whole church with all comprehensive, unfeigned love for by thy grace I have to pray for the sins of all and for my own. Grant, O Lord God the Father, that I may contemplate thine unspeakable love unto the world, manifested in giving unto us thy beloved only begotten Son. Grant, O God, Son of God, that I may contemplate thine exhaustion in the world and on the cross for the sake of our salvation. Grant, O God, the Holy Spirit, that I may contemplate thy grace abundantly outpoured and still being outpoured upon the world for the sake of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so often filling even my sinful heart. O Holy Trinity, grant that I may continually glorify thee with my heart and mouth, and above all, by my deeds. Those who reject fasting forget from what the falling into sin of the first men proceed, from intemperance, and what means against sin and temptation were indicated to us by the Savior when he himself was tempted in the desert. He fasted 40 days and nights. They do not know, or do not wish to know, that a man most frequently falls away from God through intemperance, as was the case with the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, and with Noah's contemporaries, for intemperance is the cause of every sin in men. Those who reject fasting take away from themselves and from others the arms against their flesh, which with its manifold passions and against the devil, both of which are especially powerful against us through our intemperance. Therefore, they are not soldiers of Christ, for they throw down their arms and give themselves up willingly as prisoners to their sensual and sin-loving flesh. Lastly, they are blind and do not see the connection between the causes and the consequences of acts. We should never forget that we are fallen, impure, corrupt creatures, guilty before the God of righteousness, and that we ought always to humble ourselves deeply before him and before one another. This is instilled into us by the daily prayers in the church, such as, God be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, O Heavenly King, Holy God, Most Holy Trinity, our Father, the morning and the evening prayers, and nearly all the prayers. Accordingly, let all young people who are learning now and remember that they come from a sinful root and are themselves subjected to every kind of sin, and lay this knowledge as the foundation for all other knowledge, and knowing much, let them not pride themselves upon this, but strive above all for the cleansing of their soul and body. Love your earthly country and the father of this country, for it has educated you, enlightened you, distinguished and honored you, and has provided you with everything, but especially love the heavenly country, the father of the future life. That country is incomparably more to be honored and dearer than this one, for it is holy and righteous, immovable, infinite, incorruptible, beautiful, blessed, because it has given and gives us incomparably greater advantages and blessings than this earthly one. Because the father of that country is not a mean mortal man, but the eternal God who has created everything. It has given you the name of a child of God, of an inheritor of God, and a joint heir with Christ, because the Heavenly Father will make you a partaker of all the blessings of His kingdom, which eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man. 1 Corinthians 2:9. That country has been gained for you by the priceless blood of the Son of God, but in order to be a member of it, respect and love its laws as you are obliged to respect and do respect the laws of your earthly country, for otherwise you cannot become a citizen of so sublime a country. Love also that spiritually educating school, the church, which makes us unto members and citizens of that country. The boldness, enemy, the bodiless enemy, fights vigorously against us during divine service, because at this time, by great God's grace, through our intermedium, regeneration of our souls is accomplished. Therefore, do not let us be depressed by the calumnies of the devil, but let us take courage and be strong, looking with our spiritual eyes upon Christ, the founder of all great deeds, invisibly standing before us and mysteriously accomplishing the regeneration of our souls. God's saints are beautiful, incorruptible, fragrant flowers. Do not touch these flowers with lips defiled by sins, that is, pray to them with a pure heart and pure lips, not carelessly, not with distracted thoughts, but with reverence and without haste. They are speaking heavens. They are speaking heavens. They lead a heavenly, wonderful life on earth, doing great deeds. They lived in great love, in deep humility, gentleness, patience, self-denial, loving God above all things. In the church are all our sweetest hopes and expectations, our peace, our joy, together with cleansing and sanctification. It is there that the truth of the future resurrection, of the victory over death, and so often announced. Who that loves life would not love the church with all his heart? Everything that is best, most exalted, most precious, holy and wise is found in the church. And the church is the ideal of mankind. The church is heaven upon earth. In the church, we are freed from worldly enchantment and from the intoxication of the worldly passions and desires. We become enlightened, sanctified, cleansed in our souls. We draw near to God. We are united with God, who by thy glorious childbirth has united God the world with men. Prayer to the Holy Mother of God at Compline. How worthily revered and loved should the temple of God be, how God's saints loved it. We ought not to grieve or become irritated at anything, because by frequent vexation and irritability we form the morally and physically very injurious habit of irritability, whilst by bearing a position with equanimity we form a good and useful habit of enduring everything calmly and patiently. Many occasions for vexations may arise in this life through our innumerable mutual imperfections, and if we were to become irritated upon every such occasion, our life could not last more than a few months. Besides, matters cannot be set right by vexation and irritation, but on the contrary, only becomes worse. Therefore, it is better to be always calm, even always full of love and respect for morally sick humanity, or to speak more particularly in regard to our friends, relatives, and subordinates. For man is not an angel, and besides, our life is so constituted that we sin daily and almost involuntarily, even though we do not wish. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Romans. And the Lord taught us to look indulgently upon the frequent negligences and faults of men, having said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. St. Matthew. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And who of us does not wish that others should behave indulgently and patiently to him in his deeds, stumbling and falls, negligences and omissions? This is why the apostle also teaches us long-suffering and indulgence. Charity, says the apostle Paul, suffereth long and is kind, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, beareth all things, and never faileth. 1 Corinthians. Free thinkers and atheists say that religion, the church, the divine service, the sacraments, and rites were invented by men in order to keep men in fear and submission, and to maintain morality, and perhaps also in order to collect revenues from them. This is how God's mercy and his wonderful orderings for our salvation, the very incarnation, sufferings, and death of the Son of God for our sake are blasphemed by the ignorant and free thinkers who have lost the fear of God. But look upon their life. How do they live? And do they live long? Having lost their health and strength in dissipation and drunkenness, they become prematurely aged, decrepit, dull, fall ill, and die. Christians' love prefers rather to endure all the outward discomforts of life, narrowness, want of fresh air, losses, and then to allow impatience, vexations, irritation, anger, murmuring through these outward and similar discomforts against those who inconvenience us by living at our expense and at the expense of our tranquility, either through need or out of the caprice. Love endures everything and bears everything to its own detriment, to the detriment of its own material and bodily life. For where love is, there is God's grace and every good thing. There is tranquility, there is sufficiency. A Christian suffers everything so long as he is not deprived of God's grace, which is the greatest blessing to him. What spiritual storms, hurricanes, fearful, fiery, sudden whirlwinds often occur in the life of man, in the life of those who endeavor to lead a Christian life and to serve God by prayer, interceding for themselves and others before His unspeakable mercy. It is only by God's mercy that the bark in which our soul travels over life's sea towards the eternity awaiting it is not entirely wrecked and lost. A priest ought to endeavor by every means to maintain within himself courage, boldness, daring, in spite of the bodiless enemy who continually sows in him his elusive fear, his foolish dread. Otherwise he cannot be a reprover of human vices, nor a true celebrant of his mysteries. Daring is a great gift of God and a great treasure of the soul. Courage or boldness plays an important part in earthly warfare, for it simply works wonders, but in the spiritual warfare it does far more. The source of every true joy, of all true tranquility and peace of conscience and cleansing, of spiritual and bodily healing, the source of spiritual power and boldness flows in the temple, whilst theaters and various worldly distractions and consolations can never replace that which a true Christian receives in the temple, where God Himself comforts the souls of believers and those whose hearts are turned to Him, as a mother comforts her child. It is from the temple, too, that our departed ones receive consolation and solace with the cleansing from their sins and forgiveness. How ardently we should love the temple, how we should adorn it. And so do all those who recognize its value, and the church prays for them, saying, "Let us pray for them that with faith, piety, and fear of God enter in, and further, let us pray for them that bring forth fruits and do good deeds in this holy and venerable temple. Or hallow those that love the beauty of thine house, glorify them in return by thy divine might." The world is immeasurably great. There are incalculably many beings inhabiting it, but what order there is in all its course, and all the life of the world of nature, immeasurably great is the world of celestial spirits, of angels, but what order there is in the angelic world, what strict fulfillment of the will of God. Great is the human world, too, but how much disorder, self-will, how many deformities and misfortunes proceeding from these there are in it, misfortunes and maladies, of death of various kinds, of wars, famine, inundations, fires, disasters, through storms and bad weather, disasters through drunkenness, gluttony, covetousness, falsehood, perjury, suicide, murder. They are innumerable. Woe unto us, but how we would be there beyond the grave in eternity. Man is a wonderful, grand, most wise, artistic production of the most perfect artist, God. He was not originally defiled, but incorruptible and pure. Only sin, that monstrous breed of the spirit of darkness, that foul, foolish, and evil power, made him defiled, strictly impure and corruptible, both in spirit and body, in accordance with his double nature. However, the most wise and almighty and all merciful Artist did not allow his and our enemy to entirely destroy his beautiful and grand creation, and made himself a body like unto ours, and borrowed a soul in the womb of his most pure Virgin Mother by his incarnation, his teaching, miracles, sufferings, death, and resurrection. By his wonderful and most wise offerings, he again restores to the work of his hands its former and even greater beauty and glory. He again bestows upon it incorruptibility, holiness, and wonderful divine beauty, and raises it to the highest bliss, making human nature godly and setting it with himself on the throne of the Godhead. Glory be to thee, most merciful and most wise and almighty Artist. O my invisible benefactor, by whom I unceasingly live, thou who hearest me, thou who fulfillest for my good all my heart's desires, thou who savest me from my sins, from the malice of my invisible enemies, thou who mercifully orderest my destiny by enlightenment, my succor, my glory, my power, my strengthening, when shall I see thee? When shall I see my benefactor and creator face to face? And thou, mine enemy, thou devil who continually fillest my soul with sin, thou who art crafty, flattering evil, who continually slays me, darkening, weakening me, covering my face with shame and dishonor, when shall I entirely free myself from thee through the grace, bounties, and love to mankind of my Lord Jesus Christ? When will every possibility of pouring the poison of my malice into my heart be taken from thee? What do I need? I need nothing upon earth besides the indispensable. What do I need? I need the Lord. I need His grace, His kingdom within me. On earth, in this place of my journey, of my temporary instruction, I have nothing of mine own. Everything is God's, and everything is transitory. It's destined for my temporary use. My abundance is the inheritance of my poorer brethren. What do I need? I need true Christian, living, active love. I need a loving heart, compassionate towards my neighbors. I need joy at their welfare and abundance, sorrow for their sorrow and sickness, for their sins, infirmities, disorders, deficiencies, misfortunes, and poverty. I need warm and sincere sympathy for them in all the circumstances of their lives, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. It is time that we cease to give place to our self-love, to egoism, to live only for ourselves, to draw everything to ourselves only, riches and pleasures and worldly honors. We ought not to live, but to die. We ought not to rejoice, but to suffer. We who bear within ourselves the poison of self-love, for self-love is a poison continually poured into our heart by the devil. Oh, I may exclaim with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire in comparison to thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, thou knowest my heart and all its movements, and of the writing of these lines grant me that which I ask of thee. With me this is impossible, but with thee all things are possible. Grant me the true light. Disperse the darkness of the passions. Destroy their power by thy power. What is the relation between the world and the deed? The word and the deed? The word of God, called the visible and invisible world, from non-existence into existence. The word of the mouth of God, the word was deed. Therefore, the word and deed ought to be inseparable from each other, and the soul and body are inseparate in their being. He who faithfully and continually fulfills the word of Christ, with whom the word is deed, can ever now accomplish great and wonderful deeds, and everything obeys his word. The demons obey him, maladies are cured, the human morality is taught. The cross is in Christ, and Christ is on the cross. The cross is the image of the crucified Christ, the Son of God, and therefore the sign of the cross and even its shadow are terrible to the demons as a sign of Christ himself, as the shadow of him crucified. Therefore it is very important to sanctify the water by immersing the cross in it. Through this it becomes healing and drives away demons. A Christian is the vessel of God, the temple of God, the house of God. Oh, how worthy of honor is a true Christian, how zealously he ought to shun every sin, and how greatly Christians ought to respect one another. The most abominable enemy endeavors to destroy love by love itself. Love for God and our neighbor by love for the world, for its fleeting blessings and its corrupt, impious habits, by carnal love, by the love of riches, of honors, of pleasure, of various amusements. Therefore, let us extinguish every love in this world in ourselves, and let us kindle in ourselves by self-denial, love for God and our neighbor. Every beauty in this world, personal beauty, is only a faint, insignificant shadow of the uncreated beauty, of the unspeakable goodness of God's face. Every earthly enjoyment is nothing in comparison to the future delights. I pray, Lord, that the faith of Christ may penetrate into the depths of my heart, that Christ's gospel may penetrate all my thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds into all my bones and my brain, and not me only, but all men, as the universal truth, the highest wisdom, and the life eternal. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How fragrant are the bones of the saints. What a wonderful perfume the relics of God's saints emit. What a great blessing it is to gain the sweet-smelling grace of the Holy Ghost and the life eternal. Why do we run after corruption? Why have we loved the stink of sins, of poisonous passions? Lord, in our prayers to thee, we ask the intercession of the saints, the spiritual sweet scents, that fragrance of thy perfumes. Accept their prayers for us, fragrant with love and purity, and save us from the evil odor of sin. For our hearts are unclean, and our mouths impure, and we are unworthy of most sweet converse with thee. Everything in us is earthly, corrupt, impure, and evil, whilst they, thy saints, are the purest fragrance, and above all, thy most pure mother, thy living, life-bearing, and dope, abode. She is purer than all the brightness of the sun, more fragrant than all the perfumes, for heaven and earth are full of the fragrance of her holiness and of her divine virtues. Pronounce the name of God with the deepest reverence, remembering that everything was brought by God from non-existence into existence, and that everything which exists is maintained in good order solely by His mercy, omnipresence, omnipotence, and wisdom. Pronounce with the deepest reverence the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by whom all things were made and all things are governed, who until now upholds all things by the word of His power, who produces times and seasons, summer, autumn, winter, winter and spring, who brings forth all the fruits of the earth, peoples, the earth with the animals, and air with birds, who produces times and seasons, summer, autumn, winter and spring, who brings forth all the fruits of the earth, peoples, the earth, with men and animals, and air with birds and sea, the lakes and rivers with fish, who multiplies the human race and provides it with all blessings, saves it from sin and evil spirits, and prepares an abode for those who love Him in the kingdom of heaven, who until now makes the luminaries light the earth, or moderate the darkness of the night, who diffuses such vivifying air for all living creatures to breathe, who has given such wonderful properties of fire that it warms birds and lights, who created the earth capable of easily revolving around such an immense mass as the sun, as well as on its own axis, capable of generating innumerable sorts of planets, water, capable of being turned into immeasurable variety of juices, in all innumerable multitude of fruits, trees, shrubs, and grasses. Our God does wonderful things. He is all good and almighty, most wise, the God of mercy, bounties, and love to men. There is none like unto Thee, O Lord. Reverently pronounce also the name of the most pure Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the ever-Virgin Mary, who gave birth to Him for our salvation. Through her, by the Lord's grace, we were found worthy of innumerable blessings, of the forgiveness of sins, of sanctification, of enlightenment, of renewal, deliverance from eternal death, of elevation to heaven, of becoming the sons of God, of being made godly, and of inheriting life eternal. Reverently pronounce the names of Christ's apostles, who were His eyewitnesses, and His servants, who carried His divine teachings throughout all the world, who implanted the spread throughout the earth, the saving faith and Church of Christ. Faith is renewal and salvation, unto the names of the martyrs who were born by their blood into eternal life, of the venerable fathers who, by the mortification of their flesh, mortified in themselves the sins and passions, and attained blessed renewal into eternal life. Also the names of the unmercenaries, who by their disinterestedness obtained for themselves the priceless treasures of the Spirit and eternal life, and of the names of all the saints. This very flesh which we cherish rests gratify and adorn so much is the enemy of our soul, a very crafty and dangerous enemy. It continually resists the love of God, the will of God, the commandments of God, and longs to fulfill its own will, and nearly always succeeds in doing so, unless the Lord God, in his merciful and wise providence for our salvation, opposes a powerful obstacle to this. We must ever crucify this flesh with its passions and lusts, and not cherish it. We must mortify it by fasting, by watchfulness, prayer, work, and exercise the soul by reading the Word of God, by pious meditation and prayers. I feel bright, warm, and tranquil when I turn with my whole soul to the mental Son, the Son of Righteousness, to Christ my God. Then the ice of my heart melts, all its darkness, impurity, and corruption vanish, spiritual death flees, heavenly life begins in its stead, and nothing earthly occupies me any longer. Holding the mystery of the faith in the pure conscience, the holy, divine, most heavenly Christian faith requires a pure heart in order that it may act beneficially upon man's whole being, for it cannot dwell and produce beneficial changes in an impure heart if a man does not correct himself of his vices. This is also why in Christianity, many are called, but few are chosen. Many call themselves Christians, but few are really such. Few bring forth the fruits of the kingdom of God. This is why, even among Christians, there are so many atheists, free-thinkers, so many who are superstitious, covetous, sensualistic, fornicators, drunkards, thieves, and so on. It is not the fault of religion that some Christians are such, but it is those who bear the name of Christ that are guilty in their carelessness for the religion and its rules, in their impurity and attachment to earthly things, owing to which they cannot find room in their impure hearts for the purest heavenly treasure, the faith of Christ, and are lost in the very source of salvation. Woe unto us, ungrateful, evil-natured, sophistical, vain, sensual, and slothful creatures. Lord, what shall we do? Conquer us by thy mercy, by thy love, by thy great wisdom. Destroy the subtlety of our flesh. Vanquish our malice by the power of thy goodness. Glory be to God.